Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to pose a question, please press star followed by zero on your touch. I'm sorry, star followed by one on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to withdraw your question, please press star followed by two. Please press star one to begin. Your first question comes from the line of Scott Davis representing Barclays. Please proceed.
Hi, good morning, guys, and congrats.
Hey,
congrats on getting this done kind of faster than expected. I just kind of the natural question here, I think, is does this put any pressure to decrease GE Capital faster, as far as selling assets or joint ventures or exiting businesses, just because clearly GE Capital now becomes a little bit of a bigger part of the earnings mix?
Well, I think just on the math alone, it's a small impact for 2013 versus our current plan. We'll still expect GE Capital to be smaller in 2013 than it was in 2012, and obviously we showed you the targets that we put out previously, Scott, of somewhere between 65 and 70% of our earnings coming from industrial as we go forward here. So our goals haven't changed at all. We're still totally focused on that. Does it cause us to go faster? I think the one nice opportunity here, obviously, is the gain in GE Capital from the sale of 30 Rock. We're going to be able to work on exiting some non-core assets sooner than we had planned, and I think that's a real positive. We're obviously still working on the details of that, but I think directionally and strategically, nothing changes. Do we have that as a priority? Sure.
Completely agree, Scott. I think, what we've talked about in the past on GE Capital, I think, remains the case. And we'll be opportunistic on the rest.
Great. Okay, and then just also because you're pulling forward restructuring and, you were fairly confident in your in your call and then your year-end meeting and your margin targets. I mean, can we now think of your 70 basis points as being more of a minimum target at this point rather than a likely target?
I think it obviously helps. We had, as you know, some restructuring in the framework that we're planning to do in the first half this year, and this is going to allow us to do even more sooner. And for us, we're excited about that. I think it's going to help us to really get after this cost structure transformation. It's going to help us to certainly put a lot of confidence in the 70 basis points margin target for this year. And we're obviously internally working on more than that, Scott. And we're excited about the opportunity to redeploy this cash and reinvest it and restructure the company. So I think that's, as you said, it's a very positive thing. We'll work through the numbers and give you more updates as we get to the first quarter earnings. But directionally, that is all true.
I think, the billion that we've got outlined, billion plus, we can invest at maybe a 1.5-year payback, something like that. So that gives you a sense of the math, and that, that's positive. I think it helps us.
Helps us offset those lost NBC, the last piece of the lost NBC earnings, but it also really does help us to get after all those other plans.
Yeah,
sure. Okay, I'll pass it on, but congrats again, guys. Thanks.
Scott, thanks a lot.
Your next question comes from the line of Steve Tusa representing J.P. Morgan. Please proceed.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Just on the M&A, it doesn't sound like there's much change. Just wanted to make sure, you'd said, something like around $4 billion or less. Does this change that dynamic in the near term?
Scott, my view is that, that continues to be, it's been the successful strategy that we've had. And I still feel like that's the principal focus of the company. I always like to hedge it a little bit. If we saw a deal like Avio that was, a bolt-on, low-risk execution, stuff like that, we would take a hard look at it. But the principal focus remains to be, bolt-on, focused, low execution risk, and that really hasn't changed.
Okay. And then, taking the restructuring early here in the first half, I mean, that's a lot of restructuring to run through the P&L. Can you just comment on what you guys have seen from an order perspective so far through January and early February?
We don't have any update to the outlook that we said kind of in the December look and the first, the fourth quarter earnings call. There's just nothing that really has changed for us in terms of our view of the economy and the world so far, Steve. So
You know, Steve, I was actually flew back last night from Norway, and I was with a bunch of oil and gas folks the last 2 days. Super strong, you know, no change at all. And, you know, I just think our framework continues to be kind of the way we look at 2013.
Okay, and one last question. Who came to who again, just to be clear on this? You know, how did this kind of, you know, come about? Did Comcast come to you guys, or how did this kind of come about?
You know, Steve, memory on these things is always, you know, kind of like, you know, everybody has their own story. But, you know, I think, you know, this is something that we had envisioned for a long time. You know, our recollection is that that the Comcast guys approached us. But, you know, that's, in many ways, we've talked about it consistently over time. And we've had a great relationship. And I think this is not a huge surprise that it happened on this timing.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right, Steve.
Your next question comes from the line of Jeff Sprague with Vertical Research. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm just wondering if you can share a little more color on, you know, the nature of the restructuring that you're going to do. It is a lot. Are there particular businesses that stand out? You know, are these plans you had on the shelf, or are you kind of scrambling to find additional things to do? Maybe a little color around that.
Well, we've been looking at obviously a lot of plans, given our simplification targets and the overall goal to get the $2 billion cost out, Jeff. So I think we've had the teams working a lot. We have a dedicated officer in Europe who's working on the cost structure of the whole company in Europe. She's been working for more than a year now. We've got a lot of plans there. And we've got a massive shared services effort that we've been going at for more than 15 months now. So there actually is quite a bit of work that's been done. You know, the primary focus I think is going to continue to be around power and water, healthcare, energy management. Those would be the three primary places that have, you know, significant opportunities to continue to take out cost footprint. And as I said, you know, probably by the time we get to the first quarter call, we'll give you the more details of that. But, you know, we do have opportunities to continue to restructure facilities. We have things from acquisitions that we've done that we can work on to get more cost-efficient cost structures. And we're doing so much in shared services across the company and reducing the number of P&Ls that, you know, there's also going to be some global employee impact as we go through this restructuring. But we don't have it all finalized, as you said. It's still coming together, but we have a decent framework for 60-70% of it, probably, I would say, today.
Would you characterize all of it ultimately being structural cost takeout, or is there some element of, I don't know, environmental cleanup or warranty issues or stuff like that that just kind of need to be fixed and put to bed?
I don't have any of those yet, but let us get through the first quarter on what the total amount is. I don't have the final, full pre-tax gain kind of allocated, Jeff. So I don't anticipate
yeah.
The vast majority is restructured. I don't anticipate anything big in anything like environmental or things like that.
And just one other quick one on GE Capital. Do you think there's any real earnings ramifications on what you might be exiting, or is it kind of low or no profit, non-core stuff that you'd be using the gain to clean up?
Well, I don't have a specific number. You know, there obviously the, for example, 30 Rock, the real estate team did make some money on that. I think it's around, you know, $50 million a year. But for the red assets that we'll be exiting, these are relatively low return is our current thought. And I think, you know, it would be a minimal impact. I mean, we're really focused on non-core.
Right. Thank you very much.
Okay, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Your next question comes from the line of Deane Dray representing Citi Research. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, Deane.
Hey, Deane.
Hey, Jeff, be interested in hearing you talk a bigger picture question about the pace of change in the organization. You know, you've talked about simplification efforts. You've now put a check mark against the exit of NBCU, but there certainly are more divestitures to be contemplated. And just talk about the pace of change that you think investors should be expecting.
You know, Dean, I think this is a big, you know, this is a big event. I think our focus in 13 a lot is on execution, and you know, I think we continue to be focused on the framework and executing along those lines. I think other than that, you know, kind of this disciplined focus on capital allocation that we've had, we want to continue to, you know, focus on share repurchase, dividend, and strategic bolt-on acquisitions. And then around the portfolio, I think the focus is on executing, getting the industrial earnings mix, kind of up to 60, 65, 70% over time within our control. And we're always going to look at ways to help do that, both by growing our industrial earnings and by reducing GE capital. And then I think in the organization, look, we're trying to get the SG&A as a percentage of revenue, you know, down to at least 16%, maybe lower, and at the same time keep up the investment on R&D and globalization. You know, Dean, and I think, I think when I think about it from an investor standpoint, you know, taking this great cash flow we've got, really redeploying it in a super investor-friendly way, which we're trying to do, and I think we've been very focused on that. I think positioning the organization to grow in a world that's got still some volatility in it by having great products and great global footprint, which is where we're investing, doing that in a way that can still expand our margins both this year and into the future, and then driving value through increasing the industrial percentage of earnings. These are the things we want to do with the company. You know, capital allocation, expanding margins, investing in growth, and increasing the industrial percentage of earnings. And when I look at a transaction like this, this is, you know, Keith said it earlier, this gives us just more tailwind to all of the above. You know, it just gives us the ability to reward investors, reposition GE Capital, reposition industrial, drive margins, lower our cost to invest in growth, and you know, continue to keep focused on increasing the industrial mix. So, you know, we just got to execute on that stuff. We know what's in front of us, and I view this as just a way to explode it faster.
Great, that's real helpful. And then for Keith, I was hoping you could expand on the description of the non-cash proceeds. You're getting the Comcast debt and the preferred. Any comments, further color on the terms, the covenants? It said that these are that you have the ability to sell them after the close, but just any further color there would be helpful.
Sure, Dean. First, the Comcast guaranteed notes were going to receive $4 billion of Comcast guaranteed notes. The press release talks about a subsidiary that will probably be NBC Holdco notes guaranteed by Comcast. These are completely monetizable. Our current plan would be to look at selling them at closing, and Comcast actually has an option to give us cash if they want to do that earlier. So, you know, I think that's readily monetizable. And then there's $700 million or so of preferred stock at the NBCU Holdco level. Our current plan on that is also to sell that at closing. We may hold some, depending upon the terms and how attractive it is. But the vast majority of this is most likely going to be monetized at closing, Dean.
Great. That's real helpful. Thank you.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of John Inch, representing Deutsche Bank. Please proceed.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey, John. Good morning, John.
Hey, guys. Keith, the half a billion of capital gain, I understand the concept that this would allow you to, in turn, monetize, you know, the Redline assets and prospectively some of these equity investments you have in international banks and so forth. The losses, so I get the point that you wouldn't have wanted to necessarily incur losses on those events previously, but the losses map to kind of what asset base in terms of the receivables that you could maybe more accelerate the monetization?
Yeah, I don't have a specific transaction in mind. I'll give you the broad categories of non-core assets, though, John.
Okay.
Certainly our global mortgage portfolio. You know, if there were an opportunity to execute a transaction where we could reduce our ending net investment associated with global mortgages at an attractive economic price, you know, not destroying capital now that we're kind of got a gain, that would be very attractive to us. Certainly, maybe there are other things in the real estate portfolio, in the real estate equity portfolio, that might have a bid ask that really is a you know, a target we can hit now and accelerate some of these non-core reductions. I mean, we have an economic plan. We're looking at not destroying shareholder value. We don't need to sell early. But at the end of the day, if there's an opportunity to monetize some of these things and reduce our investment in some of these non-core assets, and the economics look attractive to us, we're going to evaluate those hard now. And I think this gain gives us an opportunity to accelerate some of those things. So I'd say those would be the primary focus areas, the global mortgage portfolio and probably the real estate equity book, John.
And Keith, what about your $25 billion of international bank investments? Are those sitting with embedded losses? Obviously, financial services companies' valuations are going up. So in theory, if you waited, right, you could respectively sell for better prices. But what do those things look like in terms of sort of what you paid and what you could realize for them today?
Well, they're actually performing extremely well. I think if you look at the banks in the Czech Republic, Hungary, and Poland, Russia, you know, these are very good assets. They're largely self-funded. And they're profitable. So I think, you know, for us, those are, you know, strategic opportunities for us to find the right partner at the right time, but we're not holding back on any of that because there's some embedded loss somewhere. These are profitable operations that we think we're going to be able to sell at our current valuations or above. And, you know, it's really finding a buyer at this point, John, as the financial markets recover, as financial firms recover, as capital requirements become clearer. You've seen us be able to just move many more assets sooner than we thought, and I think that's going to continue as we go into 13 and 14 on things like what you described.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And then just lastly, how soon, for modeling purposes, would you expect your the diluted share count to move, say, sub 10 billion?
Basically, well, with this activity in 2013, I you know, our objective would be to get that down below that by 14 for sure. I mean, this is going to put a nice dent in that goal, and we're very excited about that opportunity.
And you could, in theory.
We think the stock is attractive at these prices, so we're very excited about that.
But in theory, you could hit that sooner than year end.
Well, I think if you look, it depends on what the stock does, obviously, John, with dilution. So you got to take that into account. You know, if our view is that, you know, by 14 we should be able to get that below 10 billion shares.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. Congratulations.
Yep. Thanks very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Steve Wanaker, representing Sanford Bernstein. Please proceed.
Thanks and congrats.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
First on the restructuring, before you were talking about 70 basis points of expansion with $300 million of naked restructuring. Now we're talking about same 70 basis points with $1 billion of covered restructuring. Just again, help me think through, you know, what's changed? Is it just that, you know, what's changed in the equation such that you're keeping the margin expansion number the same?
Let us work through it, I think. The only thing that's changed is that we've accelerated this gain and we haven't really been able to work through all of the mechanics and the timing of what these projects are going to deliver. But, I for us, it certainly solidifies the 70 basis points. Do we think internally that we have a higher number than 70? Yes, we do, Steve.
Steve, that's what I would say. You know, you got to think that the internal number is going to be higher than that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then and on the GE.
The math has to work that way, Steve. You're absolutely right.
Okay. Well, you know, something else could have gotten worse, right? So that's what I'm trying to.
Yeah. I got it. Yeah.
And the GE Capital gain, this all going to be in continuing ops as well or someplace else?
No, I think the gain is 30 Rock is a part of their equity investment portfolio. It's just a sale of a normal asset they have. That'll be in continuing, as far as I understand today, yeah.
Okay, and but the things that you sell and take the charge on would also be in that same bucket?
I don't know that. I haven't even worked through what those are going to be. We have a set of things that we're evaluating, but I don't know whether I can definitively say that. I think, you know, at the end of the day, we're trying not to differentiate based on where the accounting line falls. We're trying to do the right economic thing here.
Right, and I should have clarified that that restructuring, the timing, you're going to take you're obviously going to get the gain this quarter, but the restructuring would get paced throughout the year, earlier.
Here's what our framework and our plan is today on that, Steve. It's a good question. Our objective and our plan with Comcast is to close the 49% sale by the end of March. that gain would happen in the first quarter. And based on the way the accounting works for restructuring, I think we will do a substantial amount of that restructuring against that in the first quarter, but some of that, just based on the fact that not all the events will have occurred to book a restructuring charge, will fall into the second quarter, maybe a little in the third quarter, but the vast majority will be done in the first half. On G Capital, our objective is to close that 30 Rock sale by the end of March. But there are some closing conditions that, you know, if we can't get those all done, that could go into the second quarter. You know, the contract at the latest has December 1st. Our objective, as I said, with Comcast is to close that by March 27th. And, I don't know when the timing of the accounting is going to allow us to have everything done for restructuring G Capital, but our expectation is vast majority in the first half.
Okay. And Jeff,
That's the best plan we have today.
Okay, that's helpful. And Jeff, just one higher-level question, I guess. So when you go back to the thinking on whether to do this early or not, and you traded off the improving EBITDA that was coming out of NBCU over the next couple of years with retrans and other things, was this just very simple sort of, you know, rather have a, bird in the hand kind of thing than wait for that risk?
Let me answer it in two ways, because I just want to put a finer point to what Keith said earlier, and that is sometimes things just are what they are, and I would say that we don't see any change in the economy. We like our framework for 2013. This just kind of happened, and we thought it was opportunistic and just is good. You know, it's just good. So I view this as nothing but good news for investors. I think, Steve, you know, look, from our perspective, you know, we're a minority shareholder. The Comcast guys have been great. We always viewed this as a way to monetize the NBCU asset in two steps over time. You know, one was in 2010 or 11, one's today. You know, if you look at this transaction versus where we started, it's a tremendous value accretion in two steps for us as an investor. And it takes away any risk on the future and the media that, you know, is really not core to GE, not what we wake up every morning worrying about. It's we wake up every morning worrying about other things, and so it takes that risk off the table. We did it at a valuation that's substantially more attractive than tranche number one. And you know, we can redeploy the cash into doing a buyback or other things. So it just seemed like, you know, just from a risk reduction, from a kind of who we are and what our investors really look to us to do, this seemed like a great transaction.
Great,
Would you want anything?
Well, I totally agree, Jeff. You know, at the end of the day, Steve, we're sitting here. We have a put for half our stake in 2014. We have a valuation formula. We had a view of what that was worth, and we negotiated a buyout today that we think is very attractive relative to what that future value might have been. And, you know, it's up 19% since we closed in January 11. It's $2.7 billion of additional value since that closing, and it's going to be monetized in cash with all the other great benefits, accelerated buyback, more restructuring, reinvesting back in the business, organic and inorganic growth. So I just think, you know, it came together, and both of us think we got a good deal, and you can see the market likes it for both of us, which I think says that maybe we both did get a really good deal.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
All right, Steve.
I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Trevor Schomburg for closing remarks.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining on short notice. Just to close out, the replay of today's webcast will be available this afternoon on our website. As a quick reminder, our first quarter 2013 earnings will be on Friday, April 19th. And we have announced our annual shareholders meeting, which will be held on Wednesday, April 24th in New Orleans. So, as always, it will be available for your calls and questions today. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for your participation in today's conference. This concludes the presentation. You may now disconnect and have a great day.